Hello, welcome to the Believer's Toolbox. I'm Innocent Tams. On this podcast, we're about equipping you with the essential tools to genuinely live out your Christian faith, making it simple to understand and easy to apply in everyday life. Today, we are starting a new series, which is the ABCs of Redemption. Yeah, you heard me. ABCs of Redemption. You know, as a young believer, as a new believer, have you been in a place where you're probably chatting with your friends over a coffee, or you're having some conversations and you drift into something spiritual and they begin to ask you questions, or you hear someone say things like, "Hey, I'm a spiritual person, but I don't go to church," or "I'm a spiritual person, I'm not religious," in that conversation with your friends, and you are just a new believer, right? And sometimes you're lost in that conversation. You don't know what to say. Or someone asks you a question. Now that you say you're a Christian, what makes you different from us now? What's different from your Christianity and all other religions? Are they not all the same? Or questions like, why do we need a savior? Who is Jesus? Why did he have to die? You know, questions like that. Or even this, the very, very scary question of hell. Does hell really exist? Or is it just you Christians trying to scare us, or preachers trying to scare us, not allowing us to live our best lives? In this series, I'm going to be helping us to understand the basics of what redemption is, our salvation story, right? How we got born again, now that we are in Christ Jesus, what does redemption mean? And we're going to start this series from the basic, making it simple for everyone to understand. My goal in this series is to not just help you understand what redemption means, what it means to be saved, but also you should be able to tell your friends, explain to them in very simple, plain terms what redemption is. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you grant us wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding. I ask that you grant me utterance to make this word very simple for everyone to understand. That at the end of this series, let them have a deeper understanding of their salvation and who they are now in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have a key text for this series that we always do in all our series or episodes. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. To 25. I'm reading the New International Version of the Bible. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." 25. "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished." Now that might sound a lot of biblical big words. Let me read it in a different translation, the Living Translation. It says, the New Living Translation, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight." Glory to God. "He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." When he freed us from the penalty of our sins, it was God that did this for us through Christ Jesus. 25. "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. "This sacrifice shows God has been fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past." Praise God forevermore. You know, this scripture, this key text, if you read from verse 23, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." So every man born into this world, no man has a moral standard or a spiritual standard to come before God, because everyone has sinned. As long as he was born into this world, he has sinned. Maybe the unborn baby has not sinned, but as long as he has been born into this world, he has sinned. And everyone has fallen short of God's glorious standard. You see, man can never on his own meet God's standard. There is no man on the earth, no matter how moral you feel or you think you are, no matter how good you think you are, you can never meet God's standard. No man. No man. From the day you were born to the day you die, you can't meet God's standard. It's impossible. So the Bible says everyone fell short of that glory. Everyone fell short of that standard. Verse 24, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. You see, I love 23 and the beginning of 24. You see, if you have this understanding, you're not going to look down on anybody. You're not going to have this self-righteous mentality towards other people. Because you know that as long as you're human, we all are falling short of God's standard. You know, 24 says, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. Key words here, God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. So God making us right was free. We did nothing. There was no effort on our part to be right with God. Hallelujah. There was no effort on our part as humans. There's no effort we can put in to be right with God. It had to be free. All the effort had to come from God's side. All the price had to come from God's side. And the Lord made it free. To make us right in his sight, he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Hallelujah. And how did he give us this freedom from sin? It's through Christ Jesus. You know, this text explains, summarizes the whole salvation story, the whole redemption story. 25 says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice. 25 says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. So this act of God, this act of grace, is by Christ paying a sacrifice for the sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So the only thing that God requires from us is for us to what? Believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. The only thing that is required from us as to be saved, to be redeemed, is what? For us to believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. You know, there is no Christianity without this belief. If you don't believe this, you're not a Christian. If you don't believe that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected, then you're not a Christian yet. You are not a child of God yet. There is no negotiation. There is no debate about it. And that's what makes Christianity different from all other religions. There are some religions that have some similar stories with the Old Testament. But when it comes to this crucial point of our faith, we differ. They don't believe that Jesus died for us. And as long as you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins, then you can't be saved. Then you can't be saved. It says when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This is the basis of our redemption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what's all this redemption about? What we need to understand some basic things, right? If you read, when we read Romans 3:25, some words stood out. What is sin? What does sin mean? What does sacrifice mean? What does redemption mean? All those things we're going to learn throughout the whole series. I would like to read you another very interesting portion of the Bible, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Don't forget, we read where we said, "For all have sinned and are fallen short of the glory of God." Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 6, 23, that the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. 23, the International Children's Bible puts it this way. The payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. But God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the payment of sin is death. There is no way around it. The payment for sin is death. And if all have sinned and are fallen short of the glory of God, meaning that all deserve to die. Meaning that everyone deserves to die. And because of that, the Lord had to make provision for humanity. The Lord had to make provision for humanity. So let's look at some key words. What is sin? What is sin? In the Bible, sin is fundamentally understood as an action taken in disobedience to God and His word, His law and His will. Sin is fundamentally understood as an action taken in disobedience to God, His word, His law or His will. This encompasses actions, thoughts, attitudes that violate God's command and His moral principles. Sin is anything that separates the human from God and His intended way of life. Sin is anything that separates man and humans from God and His intended way of life. We need to understand, very importantly, that beyond the actions and the thoughts of sin, there is a nature of sin. And this is the very big part. There is a nature of sin. In fact, this carries more weight than all the other definitions I gave of sin. The actions, breaking His word, His law. The part of sin being a nature has to be fundamentally understood. And in today's episode, we're going to go into it. But before we do that, let's just look at the other word that we call redemption. The word redeem means, it's from the Greek word, it means to buy out or to buy back. It speaks of a rescue by payment of a ransom. Like slaves are bought from the slave market, it also means to set free, to gain possession of. It speaks of a repurchase as of something sold. A repurchase of something sold. Praise God, hallelujah. So we use two simple definitions of what sin is and what redemption is. I'd like us to have some understanding of the whole story. Where did this all begin? Where did this all begin? We have to go back to Genesis. That's the beginning of beginnings. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Praise God. So the evening and the morning were the first day. This is the beginning of creation. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to have to skip all the way. going to skip. In fact, let me read Genesis chapter 1 in the Amplified for you to have an understanding of how the earth was, right? In the beginning, God prepared and formed, fashioned and created. This is the Amplified version. It says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and empty waste. Darkness upon the face of the great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the water. This is how the whole story started. This is the beginning of the creation of the earth. Let's go to 26. And if you know the story of the Bible, which I encourage you to go and read Genesis chapter 1, all the way he talked about how he created the trees, how he created the sea, how he created the plants and everything. But on verse 26, he says, the Bible says this, the New King James Version. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is God creating man now. Like I said, we are going into the redemption story and what really happened. He says, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Look at the key word there. God was creating man in his own image, according to his likeness. He wasn't just creating a different being. He wasn't just creating another angel. He was creating man in his own image. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Again, emphasis. He created them in his own image. Man was initially created in the image of God. You need to understand this fundamental point because it's a key to understanding the redemption story. 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You need to understand what's happening here. God has made them in his own image, and now he's giving them authority and dominion over all creation. All creation, everything that existed on the earth, God is putting man in charge. He's saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion, oh boy, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Man was put in quote as the caretaker of the earth. Man was put as the prime minister of the earth. He was in charge. He was to govern the earth. This was man's position in eternity. Let's go to chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 15, you need to see on this, we're still continuing in the God's charge to man, his commandment to man. It says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. This is a critical point in man's existence. God created man, put him in charge of the earth, gave him free hand control, subdue the earth. You are in charge. Do what you want. But there's one thing he told man not to do. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For of the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. just one instruction. He gave him free hand. He put him in charge. He was the governor, the prime minister of the earth. He was the man in charge of the whole universe. He was in control of the earth. Everything on the earth was under man's control. The Bible says the only thing that God told Adam not to do was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I like to take, there's some key takeaways from what we've just read, from the creation of man. Man was created in the image of God. Key takeaways. Man was created in the likeness of God. And one of the things you must know about God's likeness was that is that God has a will. So man also was created with a will. This is fundamental in understanding what happened to man. The way God had a God has a will, man has a will. Man was empowered to multiply and fill the earth. Man was empowered to subdue the earth. Man was given dominion over the earth and creatures. And man was given an instruction to not eat of the tree of good and evil. These are key takeaways from the two scriptures we've read. Now let's go to another part of the Bible. Like I said, to understand redemption, we need to know what happened. What did Adam do? Adam was the first man. What did he do? What did he do to get us into all this mess? Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" The Bible says that now the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden of Eden?" Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, you shall not touch it, lest you die." Simple instruction. Don't eat it. Eat everything else. Don't eat it. Have you ever given, you probably have little kids, and you tell them, don't touch. And you're back 5 minutes, the very toy or the very remote or something you told them not to touch, they suddenly want to go for it. Right? This is just a similar story. It says in verse 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This is very interesting. The devil was technically calling God a liar. That's what happened here. It says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." This is a lie. This is a pure, how do I put it? It's black and white. How can God tell you don't eat of it? And he's telling you God is lying to you. In fact, look at what he says. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Don't forget that they were already created in the image of God. They were already created in the likeness of God. So how are they going to be more like God now? The only difference is that for them to know good and evil. Was that sufficient enough for them to disobey God? Verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes." Oh, may the Lord help us protect what we see, what to feast our eyes on, what we take pleasure in. The Bible says it was pleasant to the eyes. Not everything that is pleasant to the eyes is good for us. And a tree desirable to make one wise. How can you be more wiser than how much God has created you? How can you be? You know, so, and this is the human nature. People are always trying to look for something else, something extra. And that's what leads people into things they should not get involved in. They want something more to get them high, something more to make them feel better. Something, there's always something more. The Bible says, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Oh, what a story. What a sad day on the earth. What a sad day in eternity. These were beings created in the image of God. Beings given the rights and privileges to control the earth. Everything was put under their feet just because they wanted something extra. They believed the devil. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Something had changed. Something had changed on their inside. And they knew that they were naked. Something had happened to them. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Something had happened. Their eyes were open. They were naked. They never knew they were naked before. Now they were naked. The knowledge of good and evil had come in. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Oh my goodness, of the garden. Now man is hiding from the presence of God. What has happened to man? This same man that was created in the image and likeness of God, that every day God, the Lord came down to have a chat with them every evening. The Lord was always with them. They had evening time with God. Now they were afraid. Now they hid themselves from the presence of God. This is what sin does to you. Have you noticed that when people commit sin, they want to run away from God? They want to run away from church. They want to run away. They want to hide. They want to stay away from the presence of God. What a sad day. Verse 9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." I was afraid? Where did fear come in? Where did fear come in? This was a man that was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, with the abilities and characters of God to subdue the earth, all the animals, all the beasts of the earth. He was put in charge. Now he was afraid. Where did fear come in? Something had happened to the spirit of man. Man was no more the same. Man had changed. And he said, "Who told you were naked?" Oh my goodness. Who told you? Who told you were naked? "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." Now she knows she was deceived. Now she knows she was deceived. Oh my goodness. "And I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle." You see, Satan had entered the serpent, what we call snake. It's a snake. The snake had yielded his body to Satan to communicate with the woman. Satan had taken possession of the body of the snake to communicate with the woman. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. So the snake was like a cattle. And says, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and shall bruise his heel. Verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply. Oh boy. The consequence of sin. The consequence of disobedience. This is how it all started. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow, your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. You can see where labor pain started from. Meaning that in God's initial plan, women would have not had pains when they were giving birth. But the Bible says, in conception, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. He shall rule over you. You can see where the whole men maltreating women, not giving women their place for centuries, where it came from, it started here. 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. This is sad. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. This is how man's suffering started. This is how man had to sweat to make ends meet. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. This is talking about physical death. And Adam called his wife, name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam, his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. We're going to stop here for today. And I just hope that you're beginning to follow the whole story, the whole background story of what happened, how man fell, and why we need a savior. God bless you. I'll see you on the next episode of the Believer's Toolbox.